Well, before I lived in Boulder, I actually served a couple of years at the Dade County State Attorney's Office as a prosecutor. And the whole system never really sat right with me, although I can't say at the time that I ever envisioned myself leading an organization that actually works on prison reform and educating people in prison.
Well, the statistics are startling because there's been a 700% increase since 1980 of the number of women who are in prison here in the US. So is there a reason for that huge population increase? And is there any commonality across all of these women, any common shared factors that is resulting in them being incarcerated?
I think part of the reason for the increase, the rate of people going to prison, the women are going growing at a much faster rate than the men, and has a lot to do with the war on drugs and the current opioid epidemic. And their pathways to prison are usually based on trauma. 82% have a history of childhood sexual abuse. Over 70% have a history of adult domestic violence, leading to getting involved with drugs to sort of self-medicate, and then leading to crime to support those habits, and also being involved with partners who lead them to that life of crime. And there's a great number of women, a much higher percentage than men, who have mental health issues. The vast majority are addicted to drugs. And because the number of men is much greater in prison, and they all need programming, but the programming for women is much more limited. Only 14% receive any sort of programming when they're in prison. And the quality of that programming is somewhat in question.
In terms of federal policy for female prisoners, there is the Dignity for Incarcerated Women Act, and that was proposed by a group of Democrats, including Elizabeth Warren. That provides what seems to be the most basic level of hygiene for these women, and it would require that federal prisons provide hygiene products for women when they're menstruating, so tampons or sanitary pads, and that's been a major issue for women in prisons.
Well, first of all, that proposal would only apply to federal prisons. It would not apply to state prison, which is where our prison, our program is located. And yes, so the sanitary products they have to buy, and they are often bought and sold at very inflated prices on the prison black market. In addition, even toilet paper is in short supply. And so they are rationed. The women carry around little baggies of tissue that they guard with their life because they're not given enough toilet paper. And then the tampons and the sanitary pads are an even more valuable commodity. And so, yes, we welcome the proposed federal legislation, but there's still a lot to be done in the state prison systems.
Well, Colorado passed its own legislation for state prisons. It's the so-called tampon amendment that just passed in the 2017 legislative session. Now, Malia, you're now working in Florida with women prisoners there. Tell us about your organization, LEAP, and what that does for women, not just when they're in prison, but also when they're released.
Absolutely. And the situation I'm going to describe, I think, applies to men and women. But in Florida, when they get out of prison, they're released with $50. And most people don't want to hire them, and most landlords don't want to rent to them. And so the vast majority end up going back to prison because they return to the communities where their life of crime started. And so a lot of the programs that are in prison currently are faith-based, which is great because for a lot of women that is and men, that is a great source of comfort, but it doesn't necessarily provide the tangible skills they need when they get out. And so the founders of our organization, LEAP, started off doing faith-based work and quickly realized that the women needed more. So they started this program where they included entrepreneurial training so that the women could start micro businesses. But then they learned, well, most of them have addiction issues and trauma issues. And so it has evolved to be a program that involves over 300 hours of programming that is holistic. It includes employability skills, the entrepreneurship, substance abuse, cognitive behavioral work, a vast majority of things, meditation, journaling, to give them the tools to be able to emotionally deal with the harsh realities for when they get out, but also the practical skills so that they can go to work and be prepared. And we have found, statistically, our organization's been in existence for over 8 years, that only 4% of our women end up going back to prison. And our experience is somewhat in line with the experience of other programmings. It's shown that almost any sort of programming, it doesn't have to be exactly like ours, but any sort of programming is going to decrease the odds that someone is going to go back to prison. And so when they get out, they have the skills. And so our organization acts as a bridge and a support system to help them get placed in jobs. We have a house where the ones who stay in South Florida can go and live for 3 months to a year and save money to get their own place. We help them get food stamps. Now, unfortunately, some of the women, if they're charged with any sort of trafficking charge, they don't even get eligible for food stamps or any public housing. So all they get is the $50 and a pat on the back. So it's really important to have the comprehensive in-prison programming, but then to provide the wraparound services and support when they get out. If they have that support for the first year, not only do they not go back to prison, but they have the opportunity to actually thrive, which is what we all want, right? To be able to take care of our kids, to be able to earn a living. And so with the support system, most of our women are able to do that.